Well, I'm so glad all of you are here today and that we can celebrate Easter together. And obviously, this is the time now when I want to share with you a few thoughts about Easter. So here we go. As I was thinking about things today and about the gospel reading today, I remembered in my time in Arizona, we were having some kind of outreach event. And we lived in Surprise, Arizona, and right next to that is Peoria, Arizona, and Peoria is where we were starting the church. And you know, all these towns, they all run together. There's no distance in between them or anything. So there we are in Peoria, and one of the things in the design of Peoria is to have a park within walking distance of every house. So we chose a park, and we were going to have a picnic there, and hopefully meet people. And one of the other church planters who was there, a very friendly guy, very helpful to me, said, well, we're having something the day before, and we're renting a bouncy house. Maybe you could rent it for the next day for your event. So I said, okay, that's great. And so we got a lower price for the rental, and we went out there and got set up. And the guy who we were renting it from said, you know, this is great. You know, look at all these houses around here. Kids are going to come streaming out of the houses to come to the bouncy house. So we set it up and stood there, and nobody, absolutely no one, came into the bouncy house. In fact, there was a kid in the park over there with his family, and we couldn't even convince him to come over and get into the bouncy house. Now, what does that have to do with the resurrection? Well, it's not bouncing, I can tell you that, because no bouncing went on anyway that day. It's this. Jesus did not set up a stand or a shop somewhere and then hope people stop by. Now, that can work for some people and some things and some businesses, and lots of retail is that way. You buy a store and you get lease it or whatever, and people come drive over. In fact, we do that here, didn't we? Made this building into a church and hope people stop by. I just want to point out, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that Jesus did something else. He did something quite different. And he brings to each of us that very thing that he did. And that's what we see with Mary Magdalene at the empty grave here. And the story's probably familiar to all of us. You know, just repeat a little bit. Mary discovers the empty tomb, goes over to Peter and John, and they run over to the empty tomb and say, sure enough, it's empty. And then Mary's quite distraught, sees the two angels in there. The angels say, what's wrong with you? Jesus, he's not dead. And she says, okay. Didn't believe the angels. I don't know. If you saw two angels in white in an empty grave, would you believe them? Maybe not. I don't know. I've never experienced that, so maybe not. So here she is, and she thinks Jesus is dead. Somebody's stolen the body, and she goes around there, and they're out around in the garden there, and there's somebody else out there. And she thinks, well, that's the gardener. He's taken the body and put it somewhere else. So, and you heard her. She said, tell me where he is so that I can take him. And then, right then, Jesus did what he does with us. Called her by name. Mary. As soon as she heard his voice call her name, things opened up. Her heart opened up. She saw that it was Jesus risen from the dead. She was able to see that everything that had been predicted is now true. And there was a change that came about in her, a change in the capacity of her soul, something that she could not perceive before Jesus called her by name then was now active and alive and growing within her. Now, as you could imagine, she knew Jesus, and Jesus knew her, and Jesus had probably called her by name many times. But this is the first time the resurrected Jesus calls her by name. This is the first time after death has been conquered that Jesus calls her by name. There's new life going on. There's the power of the kingdom, if you will, going on. And he speaks that, and it creates within her the capacity to see who he really is. Remember, God creates by speaking. First chapter of the Bible. And God said, let there be light, let there be whatever it was. And here he creates in Mary the capacity to see who he is. Now, it doesn't end there. There's a lot more going on than that. But that's the key. That opens the door. Because what happens with Mary next, in the very next exchange, is, I want you to go and tell the others. Now, all of that, and of course she does, and says, hey, you know, remember that first time I came by? I was mistaken. He's risen from the dead. He's alive. That process, those steps, that rhythm, that thing that Jesus does is what he does with us. He will call us by name, and in calling us by name, there is created within us a capacity to see his presence, to discern that he's right there. And with that capacity, not only comes the ability to perceive, but the ability to go where he sends us to go, or do what he asks us to do. The significance of this with Mary Magdalene is that Mary actually became the very first witness of the resurrection. And you know, what's important to point out, a woman is the first witness of the resurrection. Off she goes, tells them what it is. And that she did in the power of the Spirit of God, because Jesus had spoken her name and created within her the capacity to perceive and then to go. The way I like to call it is this: what you see is what you get. And with Jesus, when you see he is risen from the dead, what you get is the power to walk in what he asks you to walk in. Now let me just take another step back and just a little further assessment of what's going on here. You'll notice that Mary said, after talking to the angels, she said to herself, well, okay, I've got to come up with a plan here. We need to find this body. Maybe he knows. Just if I could get someone to show me where the body is, then I can take care of things. But Mary had in her mind her own plan, her own program of what to do. Here's a need. We need Jesus' body. Here's the need. Here's what we'll do. She came up with it on her own. Now, of course, anybody would have come up with that plan because culturally that's what you did. And we have our own process and practices for that too. But she did that. And she did that without discerning the presence of Jesus. After she discerned it, there was a whole new thing to do. So let me apply that on two levels, corporately and individually. Us as a fellowship, and then each of us as an individual. As a church, what can be easy for us to do, well, maybe not easy, but what we can be thinking we need to do is, well, here's a need. Let's come up with a plan. And then we'll be able to meet that need. Well, maybe, but you can probably think of instances right now where the plan never met the need. You don't have to shout out what they are. We all know that this happens. When we see a need, It's the first step as a Christian fellowship, a group pulled together by Jesus, would be to say, well, Spirit of God, what is this? And see what the response is. What we would be doing continually is responding to the presence of God. See, all ministry comes through discernment of the presence of God and not problem solving for the need that's at hand. All ministry comes from the discernment of the presence of God. And not from seeing a need and thinking, what do we do? Now, needs have to be met, and it's important to do that. You know, if the building were to fall in before we get together next week, we would need somewhere else to meet, wouldn't we? We'd do something. But in the middle of that, we'd start saying, well, okay, Spirit of God, what's going on here? So that the capacity of the Spirit of God comes upon us, and then we are able to walk in that. All right. Think about that for a while. You know, if you have any thoughts, give me a call. And then individually, it's the same thing, just as we see with Mary. We're thinking, well, okay, I want to live a Christian life, so I need to do this, and I need to do this, and I need to do this, and I need to do this, which we think is the way to go, and is usually the formula for finding our way out. We can't do those things. Just can't keep it up. Can't carry it. And everyone's list is a little different. You know, I need to fast. I need to pray, get up really early every morning and pray. I need to witness to my neighbor. I need to know the answers to all the questions. I need to do this or that. I need to forgive that relative that I don't want to forgive. I should do these things. And all the shoulds are the things we cannot do on our own power. It's Jesus calling us by name, giving the capacity to see his presence, and in that presence, releasing us to do what he asks us to do. And that's what you would do in your own life individually. Get the rhythms where we're in the presence of Jesus all the time so that we hear his voice, know his presence, see what's going on, and say, what do you want? And then we go ahead with what we see he gives us to do. See, all Christian life comes from discernment of the presence of Jesus. Or if you like, what you see is what you get. And when you see Jesus, you get the whole thing. Everything that God has desired for us, that's what we get. So my question for you is this. Are you able to listen for the voice of Jesus right now? Or experience it, or let it bowl you over, or see the light, or whatever works for you. And then once that happens, can you follow? Now, I can help you with that answer because the answer is yes, you can. And I know that you can because Jesus gives you the capacity to do it. He supplied that to Mary here by the graveside. He would supply it to you and me at any time, any moment, any day of our lives. It's responding to that. It's taking it. Says, okay, now I see it. Let's go get it. Because what Jesus is saying to us is, I'm going to help you see my presence, and what you see is what you get. Would you please stand? Lord, we thank you that through the resurrection of the dead, you open our eyes to see things we might never see. We ask that you would continue to pour unto us your Spirit so that we might walk with you in the love and mercy and power and grace you give us all the days of our lives. Amen.